This is an ABC podcast.
Dick pics, a candidate calling his own party's policy positions repugnant, and another in court on firearms charges. If you like colour and movement in your state election campaign, then Tasmania's is the one for you.
This appears for all intent as a smear campaign to hurt me and my nomination.
If the Premier thinks that a person who's lied three times to Parliament and is now allegedly in a spot of bother with police is a good candidate for the Liberals, that's a matter for the Premier.
No politician, no bureaucrat, no one has the right to treat us as mugs and to keep us in the dark like they are at the moment.
So what is the story behind all the chaos in the island state in the past few weeks? And what does it mean for the Liberal Premier Peter Gutwin's hopes of re-election? I'm Stephen Smiley.
And I'm Angela Voipierre. And today on The Signal, it's been a wild ride in Tasmania already, and it might be about to get even stranger. Because after a fast few weeks of chaotic campaigning and with voting about to get underway, there's also a very real chance the winner will resign anyway. So what will voters make of it all tomorrow?
And to the state that I love and the people of Tasmania who have made a decision about the future direction of our state. 4 years ago, they voted for change. Tonight, they have voted for no change, to stick to the direction this state is heading in and to take our state to the next level.
Okay, so the last time Tasmanians got a say on who runs their island back in 2018, they opted to stick with the Liberal Party, led at the time by Will Hodgman, rather than Labor, led then and now by Rebecca White. And 2 years after that win, he resigned, leaving his former treasurer, Peter Gutwin, in charge.
Right, and Peter Gutwin is a different sort of politician to his predecessor. So on TikTok, he goes by the handle Puppy G. And thanks to that platform, everyone recently learned, when he got his first AstraZeneca shot, that he has massive biceps and an impressive arm tattoo of a panther.
There you go. Too easy.
Something he says he got when he achieved a black belt in Taekwondo. And overall, he's pretty popular. Yesterday, during a live television interview, for example, some passers-by interjected to express their enthusiasm.
In this election campaign, and we've got some voters there in the background.
Despite that apparent popular appeal, Puppy G's re-election is not a foregone conclusion. In part because it's been a weird election campaign, in part because of some of the other issues voters care about, and in part because Tasmania has a complicated voting system that often delivers hung parliaments, which we will explain in a sec.
So, can I get you, Emily, to introduce yourself for us, just name and title?
Emily Baker, state political reporter for ABC Hobart.
Alrighty, crunch time for you. What kind of election campaign has this one been?
Stephen, it started out really chaotic, actually, because it was an election that no one was expecting. There were some whispers that we would go to the polls early. Tasmania is a state where the Premier chooses the election date. It wasn't expected until March next year. And even though we suspected the Premier, Peter Gutwin, might try to capitalise on really strong polling related to his handling of the pandemic, he really did seem to catch both Labor and the Greens and reporters, to be honest, somewhat on the hop. We saw in the first couple of weeks in particular a lot of what you could call missteps on both sides of politics.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the missteps. What were some of the early campaign bumps?
So let's start with the Liberals, because theirs are a little easier to explain. We had in one of the early weeks, I'm losing sense of time, sorry, Stephen, but we had in one of the early weeks a candidate. His name's Dean Ewington. He owns a gym here in Hobart, and he was pre-selected to run for the Libs in Franklin. Now, he was quite vocal against coronavirus restrictions towards the end of last year, calling on the government to lift them early.
You know, I mean, we've got to be told, we live in a free society. No politician, no bureaucrat, no one has the right to treat us as mugs and to keep us in the dark like they are at the moment. And I've just had enough of it, to be honest. And I think it's about time that we all spoke up and actually said that some of these silly restrictions that we're still living under at the moment don't make any sense.
And His pre-selection came as something of a surprise to a lot of people, I think, because Peter Gutwin's really prided himself on his strong stance during the pandemic. When it emerged that Dean Ewington had done a Facebook Live, having a direct go at Peter Gutwin for the strict restrictions he had in place, and B, attended an anti-lockdown rally in Melbourne, although he says he didn't mean to join it, it just was walking past and he thought he might see what it was like. Look, I think he had a pretty frank conversation with Peter Gutwin and stepped down his candidacy.
Lockdowns, unfortunately, are a key part of our plan if we need them. And we have a fundamental difference of opinion in terms of the value of those lockdowns. And so Mr. Ewington has decided that it would be best if he were to resign.
It's very Tasmanian because he said actually he was waiting for his fiancée outside of Maya when the protesters started to walk past and he just thought he'd see what it was like, just joined in for a little bit and filmed himself doing it, helpfully.
We've all been there.
Now, some people are finding I went to Melbourne to go to a lockdown rally and all this sort of stuff. I didn't. I was at Melbourne to watch the football. My fiancée was in Maya's going for a shop and I'm sitting out at the front, you know, waiting for it to come out like us men do. And the rally walked past, I went past. Most of the conversation was about, you know, sack Dan Andrews, no more lockdowns. I walked past, had a little bit of fun, took my phone out, videoed it, it was a bit of fun, and then posted it on Facebook, said, oh, a day out in Melbourne.
Now, the other one is Adam Brooks. Now, Adam Brooks was an MP between 2010 and 2019. Mm-hmm. He left in 2019 after an Integrity Commission report found that he had misled the former Premier about his involvement with one of his businesses while he was mining minister. He wasn't found to have a conflict of interest and he's always denied that he did anything wrong, but after a period of sick leave, he stepped down. Now, Adam Brooks is a really big donor to the Tasmanian Liberal Party and a huge vote getter in the electorate of Braddon. And
this is kind of northwest of Tassie, isn't it? Braddon.
Correct. It's the northwest of Tasmania. He has various mining interests, a really blokey guy known colloquially as Brooksy, plays up the kind of everyman thing despite being a multimillionaire. Now, he was pre-selected to run for the Liberal Party, which was kind of expected, but pretty quickly it emerged he had been summoned to court or will be summoned to court on firearm offences. Now, it's something to do with allegations relating to incorrectly storing ammunition, and it's something he says he will vigorously defend, that he's just a keen clay target shooter and that he'll defend this summons in court. But I suspect another headache for Peter Gutwin.
The Liberal leader, Peter Gutwin, says he's spoken to Mr. Brooks and he will remain a candidate.
Oh, look, I believe in the rule of law and I believe that justice should take its course. Now, at the end of the day, Mr. Brooks will be vigorously defending this.
It's absolutely unbelievable that the Premier is not taking action to disendorse Mr. Brooks and to distance himself from this tainted candidate.
Okay, so not exactly a dream run on the campaign trail for the Liberal Party.
Right. But if you think those scandals are going to cost the Liberals government, just know that it really hasn't been plain sailing for Labor either.
Where to begin, Stephen? It's been a little bit all over the place. Four different candidates for causing leader Rebecca White four gigantic headaches, it would be fair to say. Probably the smaller issues first. So there's a candidate, Fabiano Cangelosi, standing for Franklin, which is a seat in southern Tasmania. Now, he's a lawyer and he's not a lead candidate, I think it would be fair to say. He's not the most high-profile person on that ticket. But he pretty quickly made a name for himself because he started speaking out against his own party's policies. He called them wholly repugnant, in fact, and that was his own party's stance on poker machines, mm-hmm. which is now to support poker machines.
Which is a change in the position that Labor took to the last election, right, where they were going to more tightly regulate poker machines in Tasmania.
Oh. To say the least, they were going to totally eradicate them from pubs and clubs and backflipped on that after the last election, after losing the last election.
Yep.
So firstly, he was against the poker machines policy, and Labor's also come out this campaign with a pretty strong anti-protest policy. So they also, like the Liberals, trying to crack down on forest protesters in particular. So he was out and about on Parliament lawns saying how gross those policies were, how he didn't support them.
Understanding. My view is that poker machines in Tasmania should be prohibited.
And remind us again, sorry, of your views on the anti-protest laws. Can you explain those to me, the ones that Labor has proposed?
Labor has proposed an offence of aggravated trespass. I don't consider that the creation of that offence would do anything to support resource-reliant communities. I don't consider that it gives adequate protection to the fundamental right to protest.
And usually candidates, as you would know, Stephen, towards the back of a ticket don't get a big run in the media. And here we go, Fabiano's all over the place. There's another one, Sam Mitchell. He did a few posts on social media. The Liberals tried to make something of that and didn't cause as many headaches.
Right. Posts including comparing the Defence Minister, Peter Dutton, to Hitler, and another one featuring a crucifix-shaped sex toy.
So I understand that today Sam has issued an apology for the images that were on his Facebook page. They weren't appropriate images, and I think that's been discussed widely in the media today, and I've accepted that apology.
But Sam Mitchell was only there because he was replacing another candidate called Ben McGregor. Now, Ben McGregor, and bear with me here, Ben McGregor is the president of Tasmanian Labor. He was running for the party in the Hobart seat of Clark and was widely tipped to win. Some text messages emerged. A complaint was made to Tasmanian Labor about some text messages he sent 6 or 7 years ago to a former female colleague of his, and he was ordered to resign. Now, he did a very emotional press conference the day he resigned, Stephen. He was saying that basically he'd been thrown under the bus, that he'd fallen victim to a political campaign, that Rebecca White viewed him as a threat, and that's why she kicked him out.
I need to address a complaint against me. Over the past couple of days, reactionary elements within the Tasmanian branch of the ALP have launched extraordinary attacks against progressive people in the party in an attempt to further their personal political agendas and undermine the Labor Party during this crucial election. A complaint has been made to the Labor Party by a person in relation to two text messages I sent 7 years ago. Though it does not allege sexual misconduct or sexual harassment, its purpose is appallingly clear. The complaint seeks to pervert and weaponise the current justified public outrage at the treatment of women in this country for selfish, tawdry and political purposes. The incident surrounds two text messages sent over 6 years...
The woman who made the complaint came out in support of Rebecca White and released the texts through a statement. She alleges that he sent her a... photo of a man's genitals, not his own, I should add.
Someone else's penis.
Someone else's genitals. And called her a C word. And that was because she wouldn't join him and their friends at the pub while she was home with a newborn baby. Now, he says that he sent that text as a joke and that it was a joke among friends and that it was, you know, he apologised at the time. His wife was beside him when he sent it and that, you know, he had repeatedly apologised and he thought it was all good and he's not sure why it was being dug up all these years later. Now, the woman says, no, I was genuinely really offended and I don't think you're the right person to stand for Parliament. Rebecca White made the same statement.
Well, I don't think that he was a fit person to stand for a candidate for election for the Tasmanian Parliament, and I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Now, Ben McGregor, the president of Tasmanian Labor, is threatening to sue the Tasmanian Labor leader for defamation.
There's a lot there, but we should move on. Let's talk about the voting system in Tassie, just quickly, because it is, it's a little like the system in the ACT, but for the rest of the country, it's quite novel. So there are only 5 electorates in Tasmania, but the voting system is such that you don't just get 1 MP per seat, right?
That's right. So it's 5 MPs for 5 seats and there are no how-to-vote cards and the ballot papers are pretty well randomised. So there are different columns for different parties, of course, but the order in which the candidates appear changes between ballot papers. So it means it's really anyone's game, right? And what that means is that candidates are not only competing against, you know, other parties, they're also competing against each other for the number one vote.
Yeah. And as a result of this system, historically, minority parliaments have been reasonably common, although this Liberal government, the Liberals, have been in charge in a majority in their own right for two terms now. Is that right?
Majority is obviously 13 seats. So 15 seats is a landslide win, basically. But it's a really fine line between 12 and 13 in this system.
Okay, now let's talk about the term that is drawing to a close now. So as you said before, Peter Gutwin called the election early, presumably to capitalise on the government's success in keeping COVID largely out of the state. How big a deal has COVID been this term? Do you think that people are going to give the Gutwin government credit for that?
You've lived here in Tasmania, Stephen, and you know how fiercely parochial Tasmanians are. Peter Gutwin has played up the island advantage for about a year now, or, yep, you know, longer. People are genuinely really grateful to the Premier for the way he handled the pandemic. We went really early on border closures. We've maintained a strong stance on border closures. He wouldn't budge no matter the pressure he was under. We did have an outbreak, of course, in the northwest of the state. Mm. Sadly, 13 people died. But in comparison to the rest of Australia, Tasmania generally has come away pretty well. And even this week, we saw that Tasmania's economy was ranked as the best performing in the country, which is no mean feat.
Yeah. And other than COVID, as you say, there is that sort of sense of pride, understandably, that Tasmania did very well through the pandemic. But what are the other things that voters will be kind of assessing the government on? I know there's that perennial issue in Tassie of health and more recently housing. Those issues and any others?
Yeah, I think they're both huge issues, and that's what Labor's capitalising on. The interesting thing about this election is, and I'm sure it's true for every election, both parties are campaigning on the Liberal government's record. Mm. So Peter Gutwin's saying, look at what we've done in the past year. The best times are ahead of us.
Over the past year, Tasmanians have shown great kindness and resilience. Together, we have made Tasmania one of the safest places in the world. We're in a good place, but there's still a way to go. My team has a clear plan to secure Tasmania's future, but it can only be delivered by a strong, stable majority government. And only the Liberals can provide that.
Rebecca White is saying, look at what's happened in the past 7 years. What is the legacy? And how do we really want to run as a state?
We've got an action plan that will start from day one to sort out the problems in Tasmania's health system, provide more affordable accommodation for people, because right now too many people have been left behind. And Peter Gutwin simply hasn't outlined a plan to deal with any of those challenges.
The health system's in crisis and things are getting worse. We've got more than 12,000 people waiting for an elective surgery. Doctors would tell you that elective surgeries are anything but elective. They're surgeries that someone is assessed as needing. Even more people waiting just to see a specialist to get that kind of referral. There's more than 3,800 people waiting for public housing in the state. And those numbers might not sound really big to people in bigger states, but in Tasmania, it's quite a big rise and it's quite a high percentage of the population. You know, for the first time in the past few years, we've seen homeless people on the streets in larger numbers. It's been quite confronting to a lot of people. We've, of course, had Richard Flanagan, who is an award-winning author, release a book on fish farming during the campaign.
Yep.
Another big issue down here. So the Greens have really seized on that. That book is already in its fourth reprint. So that was released last week. So it'll be really interesting to see what kind of impact that has.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Greens there, who, if there is to be a minority parliament, are potentially the kingmakers, although I guess there are some independents potentially going to be elected too, right?
That's right, yeah.
What is the picture and what have the major parties had to say about what happens if one of them doesn't get 13 seats?
I think we need some ominous music here. Both say they will not govern in minority. So we've got two Greens in Parliament at the moment. We've had in more recent years up to five and they have held the balance of power, as you say. What's really interesting about this election is that there are two really high-profile independents who have put their hand up to run. One is a former Liberal, Sue Hickey, and she's been really out and about on social issues. She left the party. She's arguably the cause of the election, according to the Premier, because she quit the Liberal Party. And then there's Christy Johnston, who is a popular mayor down here in Hobart. Both of them are running for the same seat of Clark, and both of them are in with a pretty good chance, I would argue. They both poll quite well. They've both got really high profiles, and they do seem to be resonating with the community.
So what happens if one or both of them and a couple of Greens end up sitting in the middle?
That's the question at the moment. It's quite fascinating. So both Labor and the Liberals say they will not govern in minority. They won't govern in minority no matter what. Rebecca White has been a little more slippery around the language on this. She says that they won't govern with the Greens when pushed. She sometimes says she won't govern with independents. Sometimes she slips out of the question. Peter Gutwin has made it really clear he will resign if a minority Liberal government is elected. But as I understand it, if that is the situation, if we don't get, you know, majority on either side, it's kind of goes to the governor, and Peter Gutwin would have to resign, and then a new Liberal leader would have to test the numbers on the floor of the House to see if it's a workable parliament. We're really in untested territory here with the mix of the independents, because it's easy for people to say we won't govern with the Greens. But whether, you know, we haven't had Christy Johnston in Parliament before, and she might show that it is a workable mix. It's really a wait and see on this one, to be honest.
Emily, you've been watching politics in Tassie for ages now. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that it'll be pretty close, Stephen, and that's the point that Peter Gutwin, the Liberal leader, is making himself, that this will be closer than people expect. Part of that's because of the quirks of the Hare Clark system. Part of it is these issues in health and housing. Part of it is a government that's been in for 7 years and people might be ready for a change. All that said, I think that Tasmanians are probably looking for stability right now. We've obviously had different and huge upheavals because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Liberals have done really well on the economy. I do think that they'll be returned, but I do also think that it'll be really close.
That's the signal for today and for the week. If you're listening in Tassie, good luck this weekend, I suppose. And we'll be back here with a bunch of new episodes all the way through next week. Have a nice weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.